This video is sponsored by MyHeritage. Following Disney's, in retrospect, disastrous Q2 earnings call, the share price dropped by nigh on 10%, which quite literally means the value of the company was decimated in one fell swoop. More worrying for shareholders than the semantics of the situation is that 1 week later, there still has been no meaningful recovery, and that is despite a ton of planted news stories that in particular were meant to hype up Marvel, ranging from the Fantastic Four, to Agatha All Along, to Daredevil. Yet not a single one of them has caused any meaningful traction or momentum with audiences, which isn't going to help Bob Iger win over already burned advertisers at Disney upfront. That's why they so desperately were trying to create hype, because those advertisers do need winning over. Because right now, Marvel means so little to advertisers that McDonald's didn't even bother with delaying their Captain America 4 campaign to fit with a new release date of the movie. That's bad, because it indicates that key advertisers aren't merely losing faith in Marvel's ability to course correct, but that they already have lost it. Ironically, Disney's ill-fated attempt at damage control may actually have made matters worse, because it was so easy to see through. The attempted damage control I'm referring to is an interview with Kevin Feige in Empire magazine, excerpts of which were posted in all the Disney-friendly media in the immediate aftermath of the Q2 earnings call. So, what did Kevin Feige say that evidently didn't convince anyone of anything, other than that things must be much worse than Disney is willing to let on? Well, he said that Marvel, in a sense, will be going back to its origins, which just so happens to be one of the very worst things he could have said, and we're about to see why. But first, and on the topic of origins, have you ever wondered about your own? I know I have. That's why I partnered with MyHeritage, and they can help explore just that. MyHeritage is the leading global service for family history research and DNA testing, and is the foremost family history service in Europe. So let's say you are in the Americas and wonder what unknown family you might have in Europe. This is the service for you. MyHeritage can help you discover your own origins, and it's fun and super easy to do. You sign up, fill in your own information, add your known family, like parents and grandparents, and the more detailed information you have, the better. Soon enough, matches may start appearing, with more detail and family connections. And here I have to shout out Instant Discoveries, where MyHeritage's trademarked smart technology finds individuals or photographs you don't have in your family tree already, but which you only have to review and confirm to add maybe whole new branches of up to 40 to 50 people to it in a few clicks, along with all facts, events, and photos. About that, you can also upload pictures to your family tree, and older pictures tend to be a bit rough. So luckily, MyHeritage has an AI feature that will enhance your photos, like this one of my great-grandfather, and even add animation or color if you so choose, giving you an idea of what your ancestors may have looked like in the flesh. Interesting to see how some of my great-grandfather's traits live on both in my father and myself. Makes you wonder how far back they go. MyHeritage is the place to find out, as it enables you to search through more than 19 billion historical documents to find even more information, which I did. Even with my family tree still in the early stages of construction, I already learned that I am related to Arvid Storsveen, one of the heroes of the Norwegian resistance during World War II, and to Ellen Gleditsch, a pioneer in radiochemistry, who worked with Madame Curie herself and to establish the half-life of the chemical element radium. I look forward to learning even more about my ancestors and sharing what I learn about our origins with my living family, and you can do the same with yours. Start exploring and building your own family tree today. Sign up for a 14-day free trial and enjoy all the amazing features MyHeritage has to offer. Link is in the description. With that, let's return to Marvel trying and failing to put investors at ease. while the comments came from a paid-for puff piece in Empire magazine, which is part of Deadpool's marketing campaign. The bit's suitable for addressing investor concerns that no longer can be dismissed. Were published in all the Disney-friendly outlets, and in rapid succession, just after the earnings call ended. Deadline Hollywood, for instance, gave investors both the official talking points and the takeaway right there in the title. Kevin Feige and Luis Desposito acknowledged Marvel Studios took a little hit. We learned our lesson. Which is their way of saying to investors, just chill, it wasn't that bad, and we learned our lesson, so it's all good now, even though that is not at all reflective of reality. Let's see what they have to say and why they're flat out wrong. Deadline Hollywood writes, Marvel Studios co-president Luis Desposito and Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige are addressing the rough patch the studio has been through over the last few years. If we just stayed on top, that would have been the worst thing that could have happened to us, Desposito said in an interview with Empire. We took a little hit. We're coming back strong. First of all, the only ones who ever complained that staying on top would have been a bad thing are the ones who are no longer on top but desperately wish that they were, and who even more desperately are trying to save face over the fact that they're not. Imagine someone falling and making an utter ass out of themselves, only to proclaim that they meant to do that all along.
I meant to do that.
That's what this is, an embarrassing attempt at saving face in the face of utter humiliation. Next, he says they're coming back strong, which means that he's admitting that for a while now, they haven't been. That's notable, because for years, it's been us in this corner on YouTube and a few other observant fans that have correctly pointed out not just that Marvel were in trouble, but why, while Marvel and Disney themselves, plus their friends in the entertainment media complex, up until recently have denied that there ever were any problems at all, and surprise, surprise, they were dead wrong the whole time. But now they're admitting that all is not well, all while promising to come back strong, which I can tell you right away that they will not. Why do I say they won't come back strong? Well, because they haven't understood or addressed the core reasons why they fell from the audience's grace in the first place. Or if they do, they certainly don't indicate so here, quite the contrary, because Desposito continues. Maybe when you do too much, you dilute yourself a little bit. We're not going to do that anymore. We learned our lesson. Maybe 2 to 3 films a year and 1 or 2 shows, as opposed to doing 4 films and 4 shows. That, then, is the lesson that they learned. That they stretched themselves too thin. They focused too much on quantity, and as a result, quality suffered. And if they truly believe that, they learned the wrong lesson. Ever since the failure of the Marvels, at which point the decline was impossible to deny, that they stretched themselves too thin with too many projects has been the official excuse for that decline. Now, saying that to trades once as a face-saving measure is one thing, but repeating it over and over like a mantra, including here, is quite another, because that indicates they actually believe their own spin, and that's all this is. But even so, here's Bob Iger saying the same thing to his shareholders at that earnings call.
I've been working hard with the studio to reduce output and focus more on quality. That's particularly true with Marvel. I know you mentioned television shows. Some of what is coming up is a vestige of basically a desire in the past to increase volume. We're slowly going to decrease volume and go to probably about 2 TV series a year instead of what had become 4, and reduce our film output from maybe 4 a year to 2 to at the maximum 3.
As a side note before we move on, note what Iger said about why they ramped up quantity so much in the first place.
Your desire in the past to increase volume. Your desire in the past to increase volume.
Not a great plan.
So there was some desire from person or persons unknown to ramp up quantity. Can you guess why Iger is so vague about exactly where that desire came from? About who ultimately is responsible for it? Yeah, that would be because it was him. It was his desire. Remember, Disney functionally does not have a board, as what passes for one are all subservient to Iger. So whatever he says goes unchallenged. No one else could mandate such a strategy. Despite some Iger fanboys suffering from a bad case of JPEG derangement syndrome trying their best to convince themselves and others that it was JPEG's fault, the entire massive Phase 4 slate was actually designed and publicly announced on Iger's watch. But honestly, that is besides the point, because I submit. The problem was never that they made too much, and last year is the perfect example of that. Last year, Marvel released 3 movies, namely Quantumania, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and The Marvels. Imagine for a moment if they had only made 2. Let's say there was no Guardians of the Galaxy that year, only Quantumania and The Marvels. Not making Guardians would of course have freed up resources to make those 2 movies look better where CGI is concerned. But would it have changed any of the fundamental structural issues? Like, would Kang not get his ass kicked by Ant-Man? And would Ant-Man's daughter be any less of a commie activist? Would Captain Marvel suddenly have a personality? And would the stunning and brave accuser actually work within the story? More than that, would any of them actually have a workable story? I don't think so. Quantumania and The Marvels were both beyond salvation, because they were fundamentally flawed projects that should never have been made in the first place. Same thing on Disney+. Last year saw the release of Secret Invasion and Echo. If there was no Echo, would Secret Invasion have been any less of a clusterfuck? Where the story implications retroactively ruins the MCU since Civil War onwards. And on the flip side, if there was no Secret Invasion, would the stunning and brave Echo not have diminished the Kingpin the same way that Ant-Man, thus making him less potent as an enemy going forward? Again, I don't think so. I submit that the number of movies and TV series isn't the issue, so much as that they're all the wrong ones. As in, they're so weak story-wise they should never have been greenlit in the first place, and the story problems are made all the more visible by every single one of these being pure DEI propaganda. And it's not just these. In all the Phase 4 and Phase 5 projects so far, story and character has taken the back seat to diversity, equity and inclusion, which is consistently done in such a ham-fisted way that no movie and no series really connects anymore, and they haven't for a long time, and that is why the audience has checked out all over the world. Releasing fewer movies and fewer TV series won't solve anything if the ones they plan on releasing are still propaganda. They'll be rejected all the same. The one possible exception to this is Deadpool 3. The only upcoming Marvel movie there is any kind of excitement for is Deadpool 3, which is also the only MCU movie this year, and Feige is perfectly happy about it. Deadline Hollywood writes, Deadpool and Wolverine, starring Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman, is the only Marvel film being released this year, which is something Feige welcomes. It's nice to be able to rally behind one feature project this year, Feige told the publication. I'm much more comfortable being the underdog. I prefer being able to surprise and exceed expectations. So it does seem like the last year, which has not been ideal, has set us well up for that. First of all, notice The Spin, the company behind the biggest entertainment franchise of all time, bar none. A franchise that regularly produced billion-dollar hits is trying to fool its investors into thinking they're underdogs again. Except the once king of the hill can never be an underdog again. He'll always be the vanquished and deposed former king. Can he make a comeback? Perhaps, but he'll never be an underdog, or measured as one ever again. He'll always be measured against his own past success. Case in point, Marvel really was an underdog back when Iron Man came out. And that movie opened to $585 million, pitiful by today's standards. Yet it was seen as a smash hit, because Marvel was underdog at that time. But if Deadpool and Wolverine should end up only making $585 million or thereabouts this summer, no one will see that as anything other than a flop. Even if they now come from a string of failures, Marvel is still the furthest thing from an underdog, and everything short of a billion will be seen as a disappointment. As such, Kevin Feige and Bob Iger better both pray to Ryan Reynolds that the movie delivers. And if it does, credit for that goes to Ryan Reynolds and his team, since Iger and Feige had very little to do with it. Case in point, the movie was greenlit by Bob Chapek, and the primary mover on it is Ryan Reynolds. If anything, Kevin Feige undermined him by telling Hugh Jackman he shouldn't return as Wolverine, something Jackman chose to ignore. Feige shouldn't be too upset about this one movie that wasn't made in his mold, though, because it is, after all, just one fluke, in no way indicative of any new direction for the MCU. Afterwards, it's straight back to more Kevin Feige productions, like indeed every single failed Phase 4 and Phase 5 project were. That's when we saw what an MCU fully controlled by Kevin Feige was like, as up till then, he answered to the Marvel Creative Committee. For more on that, see this video by clicking the link up in the corner or in the description. Case in point, it was Kevin Feige that bragged that the MCU would soon have a majority of female heroes way back in 2018. And while Iger was the one who demanded more projects for the big screen and for Disney+, Kevin Feige is the one who chose which projects to make and how to make them. And now, with the benefit of hindsight, he chose poorly. I think we can say that. And he has made what I think are poor choices going forward as well. Deadline Hollywood concludes by letting us all know which of Feige's project we can look forward to after Deadpool and Wolverine, namely Captain America, Brave New World, Thunderbolts, Fantastic Four, and Blade. I don't think any of them are going to improve Marvel's position much, and I think advertisers and third-party licensees see that too. Nothing is going to improve until Disney accepts that they have a leadership problem, as management is only pushing forth ill-advised projects that drive the audience away. Until Disney addresses its management problem, there can be no comeback for Marvel. Or do you think there can be? Let me know in the comments. And before you go, start exploring and building your family tree today. Sign up for a 14-day free trial and enjoy all the amazing features MyHeritage has to offer. Link is in the description.